हरिः ॐ सहनाववतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिव सरि गौर भक्त वृंद हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
Okay, page 44, chapter 6, Maharaj Prakrit passes away. The BBT purport states, Sukadeva Goswami asked King Parikshit, what more do you wish to hear? Now the king replies that he has perfectly understood the message of Srimad Bhagavatam and that he is ready, without further discussion, to go back home, back to Godhead. Suta Goswami said, thus requested, the saintly son of Srila Vyasadeva gave his permission to King Parikshit. Then, after being worshipped by the king and all the sages present, Sukadeva departed from that place. Maharaj Parikshit then sat down on the bank of the Ganges upon a seat made of garba grass, with the tips of its stalks facing east, and turned himself towards the north. But garba is also kusa. It's kusha. Having attained the perfection of yoga, right? Perfection of yoga is absorption in the Lord, right? He experienced full self-realization, was free from material attachment and doubt. The saintly king settled his mind within his spiritual self by pure intelligence and proceeded to meditate upon the Supreme Absolute Truth. His life air ceased to move and he became as stationary as a tree. A learned Brahman, the snake bird Takshaka, who had been sent by the angry son of a Brahmana, was going towards the king to kill him when he saw Kasyapa Muni on the path. Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur writes, since he was situated in the spiritual world, the attack of Takshaka was a useless action. This is expressed in three verses, right? This is the point to catch. Because in Bhagavatam we see that that's the point. In the Mahabharata it'll look like that there's some little politics going on and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. But that's the actual point. It's like Indra killing Vritrasura. He was already gone. He's already, gone back to Godhead. And then Indra had to work at it for 1 year to cut off his head. But he had already gone back to Godhead way before that. Mm-hmm. So in the same way as Parikshit Maharaj is already gone, and then Takshaka comes. Right? Suta Goswami continued, Takshaka flattered Kasyapa by presenting him with valuable offerings and thereby stopped the stage, who was expert in counteracting poison, from protecting Maharaj Parikshit. Then the snake bird, who could assume any form he wished, disguised himself as a Brahmana, approached the king and bit him. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur writes, Kasyapa had come to gather materials for a remedy to protect Parikshit from the poison. His ability to counter poisons was demonstrated by growing a banyan tree step by step from a sprout when it had turned to ashes by the poison of Takshaka. Takshaka satisfied him by giving him objects he liked and stopped it from going to Parikshit. Takshaka disguised himself as a Brahmin and bit Parikshit. So, Kasyapa means he is more powerful than Takshaka. So Takshaka can bite. So there's a huge banyan tree in the forest. And to show the might of his poison, he bit the tree and the thing just burst into flames and immediately turned into ashes. Right? And Kasyapa, then he put some medicine in that and some mantras and the whole thing grew back. So he was trying to keep him from doing that. So Takshaka's motive was that it will look bad for him if he can't bite some guy and kill him, right? He's a snake. He's a poisonous snake. He bites somebody, they die. he bites them and they don't die. You know, it's not going to go down well in his community, right? You know. Sorry?
It's a bad record.
Bad record, yes. It's a bad record. It'll go down in his, what is it, his resume, you know, like that. You know. It says here that you bit somebody, but they didn't die. Well, you know, Kashyapa Muni comes like that. Yeah, okay, so many excuses, but it says right here. Yeah, so that. But Kashyapa, then, he checked. You know, because he's, well, he can see past, present, future. He says that there's no poison. In the Mahabharata, just says his life was up. You know, so it wasn't that, it's not that he's coming and shortening his life, Takshikava biting him. It's that he wasn't supposed to live any longer. But here in Bhagavatam, we can understand is he's gone back to Godhead. So there's no point. Why, someone's gone back to Godhead, why bring them back to life? Why would you do that? He's already gone back to Godhead. That's the perfection.
Yes.
So therefore, that's why Kasyapa didn't go. But Takshika thinks he paid him off and all this and that.
Yes.
So you have these different... While living beings all over the universe looked on, the body of the great self-realized saint among kings was immediately burnt to ashes by the fire of the snake's poison. Like, his poison is just a form of fire. So when it gets more and more intense, it just has more and more fire. There arose a terrible cry of lamentation in all directions on the earth and in the heavens, and all the demigods, demons, human beings, and other creatures were astonished. Kettledrums sounded in the regions of the demigods, and the celestial Gandharvas and Apsaras sang. The demigods showered flowers and spoke words of praise. Because after this, they all know he went back to Godhead. So then they were glorifying that aspect. And so the loss is that the loss of such association of such great persons. Right? But there's nothing material to lament about. Right? Verses 16 to 28. Maharaj Janamejaya snake sacrifice. Right? So what is given here in just, you know, a couple of verses, you know, very shortly the whole thing explained, because this is all, the point is he's going back, he meditated on the Lord, went back to Godhead. That's the point. Right?
Maharaj, is there any indication of Maharaj Parikshit's ultimate destination as based on his relationship with Krishna?
Oh, it must be something connected with the you know, the Dwarka pastimes. Because he's in that circle. Because it's the Pandavas and all that, they're part of that circle. Like that. They're not the direct circle, but they're part of that circle. Like that. Sutta Goswami continued, hearing that his father had been fatally bitten by the snake bird, Maharaj Janamejaya became extremely angry and had Brahmins perform a mighty sacrifice in which he offered all the snakes in the world into the sacrificial fire. Like that. Yeah, so all the snakes is an offering. Like that. When Takshika saw even the most powerful servants being burned in the blazing fire of that snake sacrifice, he was overwhelmed with fear and approached Lord Indra for shelter. Because like, they were friends. Mm-hmm. So he approached. So probably in the beginning he's thinking that, you know, what's going to happen. Then he starts to figure out that even these big powerful snakes, they're going into the fire.
Mm-hmm.
So now he gets worried. Because right? He knows... He can make the connection, right? You know, he killed Pariket Maharaj, his son's doing a snake sacrifice. There's some purpose here, right? Where are we?
When King Janamejaya did not see Takshika entering his sacrificial fire.
When King Janamejaya did not see Takshika entering his sacrificial fire, he said to the Brahmanas, why is not Takshika, the lowest of all serpents, burning in this fire? The Brahmanas replied, O best of kings, the snake Takshika has not fallen into the fire because he is being protected by Indra, whom he has approached for shelter. Indra is holding him back from the fire. The intelligent King Janamejaya, hearing these words, replied to the priests, then, my dear Brahmanas, why not make Takshika fall into the fire along with his protector, Indra? Right? Because Indra's protecting him, so bring Indra also. You know? So, Sutta Goswami continued. Hearing this, the priest then chanted this mantra for offering Takshika together with Indra as an oblation into the sacrificial fire. Okay, you want to go? Yeah. O Takshaka, fall immediately into this fire, together with Indra and his entire host of demigods. Right? So it's like, okay, if you're gonna have an offering, you know, it's like, you know, go big, right? When Lord Indra, along with his airplane and Takshaka, was suddenly thrown from his position by these insulting words of the Brahmanas, he became very disturbed. Brihaspati, the son of Angira Muni, seeing Indra falling from the sky in his airplane, along with Takshaka, approached King Janamejaya and spoke to him as follows. Brihaspati said, O king among men, it is not fitting that this king of snakes meet death at your hands, for he has drank the nectar of the immortal demigods. Consequently, he is not subject to the ordinary symptoms of old age and death. The life and death of an embodied soul and his destination in the next life are all caused by himself through his own activity. Therefore, O king, no other agent is actually responsible for creating one's happiness and distress. That's why he's pointing out that he's drank the nectar, he's going to live for however long he is, and that's been done by his previous activities. And then when those activities are up, then he's going to die anyway. Right, so there's no need to try to act as an agent for his death. Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur elaborates. Hear the philosophy behind what you are doing out of grief for your father. The actions of the living entity cause his destination, such as swarga on dying. This is the normal arrangement for low living entities, jantoho. But your father's living, dying, and attaining the Supreme Lord's abode were by the Lord's arrangement, right? Everybody else is by their karma. But we see here is that Parikamaras is by Krishna's arrangement. Yes. The Lord protected him by his own hand from the weapon of Ashwatthama and arranged for him to die by the curse of the sage. He arranged for him to attain his spiritual abode through the teachings of his beloved Sukadeva. All these events were arranged by the Lord. Takshaka is the cause of this death in name only. So Takshaka came and it was just a medium.
Yes.
Because there's some, you know, there has to be some way that he's going to go. And so now if he just dies, then like so many other great personalities, we see that they died and moved on. Right? Great, great personalities in the past. We see in the 5th, 6th canto all these great kings and all that. And, you know, it's nice that what they did in their lifetime was something special. But we see with Parikshit Maharaj, then by this arrangement, then Sukadeva Goswami speaks Srimad Bhagavatam.
Yes.
Right? That's for the benefit of the whole world.
Yes.
So it's not an ordinary situation.
Yes.
Right? So that special situation, that is what has to be appreciated.
Yes.
So that's what he's pointing out, is that the Lord's arranged like this. It has nothing to do with Takshaka. He just happens to be the medium. Just like the, what do you call it? The the curse of the sages, you know, then could be said to be the cause of the destruction of the Yadu dynasty. But no, it's the Lord's arrangement is destroyed. It's just that he thought it was a nice arrangement.
Yes.
You know? He was thinking, you know, how is this going to work out? Right? And so then it works. Then we see Gandhari then curses that after a certain amount of time, the dynasty will be destroyed. And so then he thinks, okay, that works. You know, the timing's good. And then you have the sages and all that curse and how it'll be. And now it's complete. So the Lord's happy. And so with that position, then it's by the Lord's arrangement they go. Otherwise, nothing material can kill the Yadus, right? So nothing material could kill Maharaj Parikshit.
Mm-hmm.
But it's by the Lord's arrangement that it's there. So he's pointing that out. So we see in Mahabharata, it's a whole different kind of arrangement. But here you see when we're dealing in this avatar with Krishna's Swayam, where it's himself coming, right? Then we see that the specialness of the pastimes is unique to the other cycles of the yuga.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So when Krishna comes then, say Vyasa is Vishnu Tattva, we see then Krishna comes in his what do you call it?
Chaturvyuha.
Parabhasta form, you know, as Ramachandra, as Lord Chaitanya, because generally in Kali Yuga the avatar is a jiva, right? But he comes himself, Vyasadeva's the empowered jiva, but he comes himself. So then we see here is that aspect of Bhagavatam being spoken and pure devotion. Then it's something unique, something special. So that's all Krishna's arrangement. So there's no need, because we see in the other times, we see then Parikshit Maharaj, you see the more external kind of as a king and all these kind of arrangements and the tricks of Takshika and all these things. So that one can see it in that more, if one wants to, in that material position. Mm-hmm. But since the devotees won't see it in that, they don't need to hear all that those aspects. Mm-hmm. So it's a straight transcendental position is given. Mm-hmm. So, yes.
Can we see that Bhagavatam and Mahabharata are different audiences?
They're different audiences. It was meant that the Bhagavatam was the one to give the summary, and the summary has been given so it can be appreciated by all groups of people.
Yes.
But at the same time, as he hasn't brought to the front the point of pure devotional service, he's talked about it. So an intelligent person will be able to appreciate that, but others may not. Well, with Bhagavatam, it's very hard to not. That's why Shankaracharya himself then avoided the Bhagavatam as a commentary. You know, some of his foolish followers, then they try to, you know, do something, but...
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, we also see Brihaspati is coming here. Well, before it was Astika. He was the son of the sister of the snakes. Like that. Jarakaru. Means they have a sister, Vasuki, Takshaka, they all have a sister. And so she married Jarakaru. Her name was Jarakaru, because Jarakaru said he'd only marry someone who they had the same name and same austerities, because Jarakaru means big waist. So they have big, you know, body, healthy body, but because of their austerities, then it's very lean and thin. So when he found out she has the same name, she does the same austerities, then they got married, and then they had a son, Astika, and then Astika... He, you know, being a Brahmin and all that, then he was trained, and then he came at this point and stopped the sacrifice. Mm-hmm. Like that. But you see here is that Brihaspati himself comes and explaining about actually transcendental knowledge. Mm-hmm. So, you know, just it's a different, it's the cultivator. It's the difference in the... Brihaspati continued, when a conditioned soul is killed by snakes, thieves, fire, lightning, hunger, disease, or anything else, he is experiencing the reaction to his own past work, right? Previously we'll hear a touch about this, but we see the 11th, 12th canto. That's all we hear about. Therefore, my dear king, please stop this sacrificial performance, which was initiated with the intent of doing harm to others. Many innocent snakes have already been burnt to dead. Oh, death. Okay, I was going to say dead. Burnt to dead. Yeah. Indeed, all persons must suffer the unforeseen consequences of their past activities. And why it went up to this point and could happen, because you can say is that innocent snakes, means they themselves haven't necessarily done something at this point, like Takshaka had. But when you go back in time, they had made an offense that they were cursed. And so because of that, that's why then they were cursed that they would all be destroyed. And then they went to Lord Brahma, and Brahma said that by this arrangement and this child, Astika, then they won't be. Right? So this seems to go on a regular basis. So this time Brihaspati came. So because of that curse, then those who were affected by the curse, then we see then they died anyway. It was understood it would happen.
Even Dhruva Maharaj was killing the Yakshas and his brother.
And then the point being? What has that got to do with this curse?
Because
we're explaining why it says innocent snakes, but why it happened. Because by his point, that by their actions, so in the past, they've done something to offend, I can't remember who they offended, and they got cursed. So that curse is having the effect. That's why there was the sacrifice and he was able to do. Otherwise, if it wasn't their time, he would not be able to do anything with the sacrifice. But because it wasn't Takshu and that, then it was arranged, Priyaspati came in there like that. Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur elaborates, this sacrifice should be stopped because it is black magic, which is condemned and useless. Abhi chari kam. The killing of snakes done already is not a sin for you, since all creatures suffer their fate. Even the snakes are experiencing the results of ancient karmas, right? So we're saying that ancient curse, that's why. So stop that. It's that black magic is not to be used. We just don't use it because it harms others. That's we don't do that. Right? So that's just understood. We don't use those sections. So that'll all be, whatever sections of the Vedas deal with that, then it can be used. But generally those, it's not used by those who are, cultured or trained. Okay. Suta Goswami continued. Advised in this manner, Maharaj Janamejaya replied, so be it. Honoring the words of the great sage, he desisted from performing the snake sacrifice and worshipped Brihaspati, the most eloquent of sages. But there is a common point between this and the other story with Astika, is that Astika came and made his presentation, his prayer, because Janamejaya was respecting all Brahmins who came to the sacrifice and giving them charity. So he came and asked for the charity to stop the sacrifice. So then Janamejaya asked all the sages who were present at the sacrifice. Right? And then with their blessings, then he stopped the sacrifice. Right? So in the same way here, then by the influence of a Brahmana and by the advice, yes, then he is stopping the sacrifice. Because otherwise he wouldn't just whimsically because someone sang.
Yes. Yes.
Right? Does that make sense? But it's based on the authority of the Vedas that the great personalities are proving it. So therefore, then he stopped it.
Yes.
Right.
Yes. So you will find that even though he's a king, the Brahmanas have complete control on the king, so that he's ready to surrender.
Yes. Yes. No. Yes. The Brahman king always follows Brahmins. Yeah. Yes. Means that was the Pandavas' fault when they came down to the Ganga when they were attacked by the Gandharva king. When they ask, why did you attack us? We're just coming down to the Ganga. And he said, one of the reasons is you don't have a Brahmin leading you. Yes. As Kshatriyas, when you walk, there must be a Brahmin in front. Like that. Right? Because the Kshatriya always follows Brahmins. Mm-hmm. And so then they inquired, where to find such a qualified Brahmin. And then he explained, and then that he was led to Domya. And Arjuna, the Pandavas accepted Domya as their Brahmin. So whenever they travel, went anywhere, did anything or any discussions, any big, it's just like they want to do the Rajasuya sacrifice, they will discuss it with him.
Okay.
Yes.
Can we say that those Brahmins, it's the equivalent of what we're calling the gurus now? For example, we have to... It's better if we discuss
with elders. So they'll be there. But it's also just those who are... It basically means that the Brahmins have to be respected. Now, of the Brahmins means that those who, let's say, they have that knowledge in Scripture and they follow that. They live that as a lifestyle. So that's always going to be an advantage, because then we may interpret the Shastra in one way and they'll have, deeper understanding. But now... taking that further, then amongst Brahmins, then the one who knows Krishna, that's considered the better, so the Vaishnavas. So then it will be of the senior Vaishnavas, right? So then the preachers. So then taking their direction and advice, that's then how we go about our life.
And can we say, regarding them specifically, like Janamejaya, Pandavas, because they followed the Vedic version, they all got Upanayana, and that's how it's considered to be. They were initiated. Right. We do in Pancharatrik, that's different.
It's a higher level. Pancharatra is Dvija. The Upanayanam, that's Dvija.
Yeah.
And since we get the Brahma Gayatri along with, we call Dvija. You don't have to say Dvija, but technically it's Dvija. Mm. Okay. Verses 29 to 35, detachment and from materialism. Suta Goswami continued, "This is indeed the Supreme Lord Vishnu's illusory energy, which is unstoppable and difficult to perceive. Although the individual spirit souls are part and parcel of the Lord, through the influence of this illusory energy, they are bewildered by their identification with various material bodies." Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur elaborates, "How can even learned persons be so bewildered?" So, okay, this whole chapter is then narrated by Suta Goswami. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur elaborates, "How can even learned persons be so bewildered? Because of the anger of Janamejaya, the brahmanas, who are learned, were engaged in a sacrifice to kill the snakes. The power of Maya is shown. Maya is invisible. By Maya, which cannot be stopped even by learned people, everyone is bewildered. Who is bewildered? The living entities, who are umsas of Vishnu, are bewildered concerning living beings and objects by the functions of the gunas, such as anger and hatred." And so then, it's just Maya's potency is so great that it can affect.
Yes, yes.
And so, that happening, that's not the big deal. Then, when we have a proper association, like we see here with Brihaspati, then that's all corrected.
Yes, yes.
So, as we see, as we're not worried, we don't take it as a serious thing, someone else's, you know, activities and karmas. Right? Because we know it's all happening under the potency of the Lord. So, we're not taking that as serious. Right? Same way as we're not taking our position if we get distracted as serious. So, in the Vedic, they're not taking anyone's distraction seriously. Not that it's not dealt with, it's just not considered serious. Why? Because serious means the soul is turning towards Godhead. That's serious. All other things are illusions. So what does it matter if, you know, the illusion is green or purple or brown?
Yes.
You know, what does it matter? You know, if it's in technicolor, you know, it doesn't matter. Like I remember once, I think we were in, what was it, Bangkok. Somehow or another, then we were staying at a Hindu temple there. And so then, you know, they always eat at night. Right? So then we'd eat and then go to bed. But then one night, because they'd always serve chapati sabji and then after some milk. But this night, they served a Karela sabji, you know, with the chapatis. But how they'd cook it, this North Indian style, so it's not bitter and all that. And so then, somehow or another, the combination of Karela and milk, it means that night I had technicolor dreams. I mean, I've never seen dreams in that much color, right?
Something in it also.
No, I don't think that.
It helps.
Right. Yeah, no, this wasn't. This was. Yeah, so it doesn't matter. That's the thing. We take it seriously because identifying with the body, we identify others with their body. So what they do with their body, we take it as serious. The problem is it's not Krishna conscious. So the solution is be Krishna conscious. Right? The idea that you're going to take an illusory dream and someone did some nonsense in this illusory dream, so within that dream, then they must be punished. How is anything? How is this reality? Right? So the point is that it's all happening under the modes of nature. And so, what's the solution? Krishna consciousness. It's the only solution. Anything else is mundane. Does that make sense? Yeah. The BBT purport states, "The illusory energy of Lord Vishnu is so powerful that even the illustrious son of King Parikit was temporarily misdirected. Because he was a devotee of Lord Krishna, however, his bewilderment was quickly rectified." Right? So, he's a devotee, so in the association of devotees, it's rectified. That's the actual position. "Materialistic persons are not interested in the protection of Lord Vishnu. Therefore, their complete ruination is inevitable." Right? So, complete ruination means they go off in this mundane ideas. So this anger, this hatred, you know, all these kind of things. And then just ruin themselves. Because as you are the instrument to destroy someone else, you will be destroyed. It's just how it works. That's just karma. Mm-hmm. We may like it or not, but that's just how it functions. Right? So that's why the point is Krishna consciousness. The problem is Krishna consciousness has been distracted, so therefore bring it back to Krishna consciousness. Yes. And if that's, you know, it's just like you're driving down the road and you start to veer off, what's the solution? Right? Go back into the correct place. Not that while they're off the road, stay off the road there and then, you know, start beating them with a stick or something. Mm-hmm. Right? Then you'll end up, you know, in a ditch or in a tree or off the edge of the bridge, you know, depending upon how vivid your imagination is. You know what I'm saying? So, that's the whole point, is that there's no real purpose to it. It doesn't do anything. It just brings about complete ruination. So the point is whatever is wrong, you just bring it back to Krishna consciousness. And if someone's not Krishna consciousness, you bring them to Krishna consciousness, right? So that's the whole thing. You're always just doing that. Yeah? Yeah. Suta Goswami continued. But there exists a supreme reality in which the illusory energy cannot fearlessly dominate, thinking, I can control this person because he is deceitful. End quote. In that highest reality, there are no illusory argumentative philosophies. Rather, they are the true students of spiritual science, constantly engaged in authorized spiritual investigation. In that supreme reality, there is no manifestation of the material mind, which functions in terms of alternating decision and doubt. Mm-hmm. Created material products, their subtle causes, and the goals of enjoyment attained by their utilization do not exist there. So there's no concept of something of this world there's no concept that the engagement of the senses can be for something other than to please Krishna.
Yes.
Does that make sense? Let us say, you take prasad, right? So the senses come in contact with a sense object, right? And there's a sensation, right? There's taste, you know, in any of the six tastes or combinations thereof, right? But the real point, as we see from Lord Chaitanya's instruction, is that we're appreciating that taste is Krishna. Right? Yes, we're coming to us through the senses, but Krishna being everything, he is that taste.
Yes.
Yes. Right? So appreciating Krishna is the actual point. So what he's talking about here is there's that highest reality where they'll just be appreciating Krishna.
Yes. Yes.
Right? The lower reality, we may or may not remember Krishna, but it's about the taste we're getting from that object. Does that make sense? We have a rasgulla. The taste of the rasgulla is what we're appreciating, not that taste is Krishna. So in the higher reality, they only see it connected to Krishna. In the lower reality, you just see this is a nice rasgulla.
Yes. Different level.
It's a different level. So that's the whole point. When they say there's no sense gratification, we take it that the senses aren't engaged. We take it from the impersonal point of view, right? Which is also material. Right? But the spiritual point of view is that they don't see that side. All they're seeing is that they're appreciating Krishna. It may be through the taste, it may be through the smell. Does that make sense?
Yes.
But it's Krishna that's being appreciated. So there is no sense gratification as such. The senses are engaged in Krishna's service. So it's not different from what we've heard all this time. It's just the perspective of it is different. You know, so we see up to now we've been seeing how things are, and means your senses, your experience, how to connect that to Krishna. But now is being explained in this, we see in these 11th, 12th cantos that now it's about that there actually isn't this other reality. This lower reality just means you're only taking half of the equation.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
The higher reality is it's Krishna in the form of taste. But we leave out Krishna, it's just taste.
Yes.
Does that make sense?
Yes.
So it's a different perspective. That's why the dry renunciation, Lord Chaitanya didn't appreciate that. It's engaging the senses in Krishna's service. Because what you're renouncing is also Krishna. Right? So if it's within your duties, you take part in that. If it's not within your duties, then it means you're always engaged in service to Krishna. So if it's not your duties, you're not doing that. That's why it's very important, this thing of people have duties. But we'll be thinking, no, everybody can do everything. And then because of that, then there's no concept that you just stick to your duties. So how do you engage yourself? How do you define? If I can do anything of the four varnas and four ashrams, there's no restriction, then how do I define how it's Krishna or not? What is service to Krishna is pleasing for Krishna? Right? Because I'm engaging the senses, but like it or not, the senses and the sense objects are in situations, and that combination of it, the time, place, and circumstance, then has a particular effect. Right? Right? Let's say it's somebody's birthday. Okay? We get out this nice, fabulous cake. You know, get out the candles, sing the song and all that. But where are we doing this? Right? Where's the natural place to do this? Right? Somebody's house, right? Depending on what, if it's at dinner, you bring there. If you're sitting in the living room, you bring the cake out there. Okay? What if we're doing this in the middle of one of those nice 12-lane highways, you know, in Los Angeles or Moscow?
You will have no cake.
Huh?
You will have no cake. It will be driven over.
Yeah, along with the person holding the cake, right? But it won't be so good for the person because you have a knife also, so they might get a puncture, so they might swerve around. But yeah, it's not going to work out, right? So it matches. So the point is all these situations of senses, sense objects, and the environment it's in and who's involved, that makes a difference on the flavor that has. So since it's about Krishna's pleasure, then it's Krishna who defines who does what. Right? Does that make sense? That's how it works. But if we decide, no, I want to do that. You know, it's just like your friend says, okay, we want to do this for you. You know, who do you want involved? Oh, I'd like this person to do this, that person to do that. Okay. Then that's nice. It's personal. But now, would it actually be personal if somebody else who's not really part of that main, you know, that group mentioned, says, no, but it's all equal. I want to do that. Why does he want to do it? For the pleasure of the person? No, for their own pleasure. So this whole concept of anyone can do anything is simply for the individual who's making that point's own personal pleasure. It has nothing to do with Krishna. Because Krishna as a person already said, Grihasthas do this, Brahmacharis do that, Sannyasis do this, Brahmins do this, Kshatriyas do that. He's already said that's the way he likes it. Does that make sense?
Yes.
So that's the whole point. So if it's about Krishna, he said how it works, what situations are for what people. Then that's how it's defined. And we as humble devotees, it's that this is where we are in this particular place. I'm not the body, so what does it matter what body it is? Whatever it is, that was the one I work with. You can't work with something else. Right? You know, unless you're, you know, how you say, good at walk-ins, but I wouldn't recommend that.
Because usually to throw out this, you know, devotees, so some devotees usually say that Lord Chaitanya said,
Naham vipro, yeah, I'm not those things, but it doesn't mean that the body you're in is not those things.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? That's the whole point. Because why is it always based on prestige? Now, in the temple, we're taking out the garbage. Is there a problem in the brahmacharis doing that?
No.
Not at all.
No.
In fact, that's probably expected. Okay. So why not the big yatra leader? Why doesn't he take out the garbage?
That's a prestige. He has a
it's prestige.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But at the same time, as he can do all these big things and organize, so he's also organizing the garbage takes out, and then the brahmachari is taking it out.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a matter of service, so it's defined by the service.
Mm-hmm.
But if we don't see it that way, we see it by the prestige, then, as it says here, therefore their complete ruination is inevitable.
Mm-hmm.
That's all. It's just a matter of, is it about Krishna the person? Because as we saw, when we switch the example from the other side, in other words, we take it from our side. No, but everybody's equal and everybody can do, and why everybody can't have the same chance and all that. And what we're saying is in secondary. We're not talking about same chance mean to being fully engaged in Krishna's service. We're meaning that if I don't do this service, then it's not devotional service. There aren't any alternatives because I want to do this. So when we take it from an example, like we said, somebody's birthday, okay, who do you want to, you know, do this? Then they say, everybody will go, this is nice.
Yes.
And then when we say that this other person is not really part of the scene, then they're demanding that they can do because everybody's equal and all that.
Mm-hmm.
Then you can understand this is not personal.
Yeah.
It's self-centered.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
But when we switch it to this side where we don't know Krishna,
mm-hmm.
it sounds really good from this side.
Yes.
It really sounds nice, very ethical, very uplifting, very broad, very universal, but universal means impersonal. We're taking it that this universal is personal. No, it's impersonal. Everybody has, yes, that's everybody's impersonal. This guy, now that's personal. So that's the whole thing, is that due to the mode of ignorance or the avidya potency of the Lord, you know, the modes of nature has been explained by Brihaspati, then what's right looks wrong and what's wrong looks right. And by the modes of nature, then people go, yeah. And other people go, that's stupid. You know, that's just how it works. So we have to understand is there exists a supreme reality in which the illusory energy cannot fearlessly dominate. So we're being given the opportunity to see and act and live in that higher reality, that supreme reality. Because it is what it is. Right? I mean, even in the contemporary environments, that's how you define, right? What isn't it? You say, who's God? He is what he is, right? That's the definition, right? In fact, that definition, I think, was given by God himself. But I think he said, am, not is. That's depends on the community.
Okay. But now, this level of consciousness is like to really see things as they are.
This is seeing as you are.
And means no influence of any guna.
No. That's why Prabhupada, he's there, just like, let's say, take it today. If we take it into the today's context, Srila Prabhupada is there, he's staying with that Indian yogi at the yoga studio.
Yes.
And who's coming? All the uptown, you know, rich
yes.
ladies.
Yes.
No?
Yes.
And he's preaching. But he can see as they're not interested in Krishna consciousness. And he's being restricted by the yogi from talking about Krishna.
Yes. Yes.
Sound familiar at all? Yes. And so Prabhupada doesn't take that, even though it's very prestigious. They're rich, it's all that, it'll be there, he'll be known, you know, like the yogi is there. He's known in that uptown, you know, lady group, and it's, you know, he's the man. And then Krishna arranges that he moves down to the Lower East Side.
Yes.
And at least at that time, that was the bottom end.
Yes. Yes.
You know?
Like that. Survive.
Yeah. Right? And so then, and he's down there with these hippies, and these hippies, these aren't necessarily local resident hippies, like Mukunda Maharaj. I think he was a local, you know? But this is guys, they came in from other cities, they're just wandering the streets.
Yes.
How much lack of prestige is there? But because they would take Krishna conscious. He ended up in that that AIR of that, you know, artist like that who was completely, you know, strung out on acid and, you know, was dealing so badly.
Yes.
Krishna Prabhupada ended up out in the street. No possessions, nothing. But he could see this potential here. People were interested in Krishna, not just in some dabbling in some, you know, little Indian, you know,
yes,
flavorful
yes
kind of thing.
Yes.
Because, believe it or not, the, you know, the more upper class, they like dabbling in cultural things.
Mm.
You know, like that. So a little yoga, a little this,
yes,
a little that. They don't mind.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
But not interested in actual Krishna consciousness. Well, these people were. They were directly interested.
Mm-hmm.
So Prabhupada set up there on the Lower East Side, mm-hmm, right? Outside his front door are the Bowery bums,
yes,
right? The bums aren't, you know, you don't hear about bums, you know, the Wall Street bums or this and that. No, it's the Bowery bums,
mm-hmm,
right? I mean, they were on Wall Street before. That's not why they lost everything. They lost their shirt and now they're on the Bowery. But the point is it was right outside the temple of you know, there. So lack of, but here's where Krishna consciousness, so that's what you're talking about. Prabhupada doesn't see according to the modes. So he doesn't see that this uptown situation is better and this, you know, downtown is less nice. He sees where Krishna consciousness is being taken. That's the place to go. It's very different. So that's what Krishna and you see the acharyas and are talking about. Having presented this whole teachings of Bhagavatam, this is what's being presented. That's what should be looked for. Where Krishna consciousness, this prestige and all that. If you're a devotee, you automatically have prestige. Sukadev Goswami, did he have anything? Did he have any clothes?
No.
Like that. Any other possessions? No. He walked around naked with nothing. But he's of all the sages here in this book, he's the most prestigious. So that's the whole point, is prestige comes from Krishna. Krishna will give prestige to whoever is preaching his glories. And if you try for these material things, then there's a good chance that, you know, it's not going to happen. You don't even have the karma for it.
Yes, yes.
You know? Does that make sense? So that's the whole point. We have to be very, very careful. Is that if you want to deal on the mundane platform, then you have to actually, again, be self-realized and understand what is your material karma.
Yes.
If you came from a middle-class background, you're going to go back to a middle-class background. It's not that you're middle-class, you come into Krishna consciousness, you're the big man and that. You leave Krishna consciousness, you go back to middle-class. You know, you're from a rich background, you are in Krishna consciousness, you go out, you go back to the rich blood. You come from a poor, you go back to that. It's Punar Musika Bhava. Right? That's the way it works. So the point is that anything that's there is by Krishna's grace. So all the opulence that is there, you know, does that make sense? That's the thing. How is it that there's so much preaching, so many people are coming and this and that? It means before joining Krishna consciousness, then, you know, many would have, you know, been a little philosophical and had their opinions on life and all that. How much of a crowd did you have?
Yourself.
Right?
People.
Yeah, well, that's pretty good. I only remember one. One at a time, yeah.
Yourself.
Hmm? Yes.
Yourself.
Well, that was most of the time. And then there were two occasions, you know, in all those years that you're talking to one person and they were listening or talking to another.
Yeah.
A good chance they were just being polite, like
yeah,
nothing else to
yeah
do and all that. Right? And then here we can talk to thousands. You know what I'm saying? Managing. What are you managing? And here you can manage also thousands. You know what I'm saying? So all this opulence is coming from Krishna because of Krishna consciousness. So there's no need to then try to look on the other thing, because we can see is like Ramachandra, all his citizens were happy because they followed their duties. What? Everything was there. Anything they needed was there. And they were happy. Well, nowadays people get what they think they need and are not happy. So you have to, you know, what Krishna said, that's what will make you happy. But the point is, it's in connection with Krishna. That's what brings all these things. So they're following the rules that are connected to Krishna. That's what makes it function. Is that... Yeah? So we have to be convinced of this, is that there is this higher reality. And it is the supreme reality, and it is the reality. All this, everything else is illusion. So whenever we say the real world, we're talking about the world of illusion. Right? And within that, there may be more successful, less successful. So when we say the real world, we're talking about those who are successful within the illusion. The lower reality. And which is, you know, it has its facts to it. But the point is, and then there's the supreme reality. Right? So that's the whole point. But, yeah?
Good. Krishna consciousness is practical.
Krishna consciousness is practical. Because everything's coming from the spiritual world. Do they have all facility? Do they have all the knowledge and skills they need to perform their duties on a very elevated platform? Right? So then the reflection of that, that's here. So we talk about that, oh, we have to do all this because it's not there. It's kind of, where did it come from? Otherwise, then we have to accept that life comes from matter. Consciousness comes from matter. If we're going to say that, no, this is reality. When it doesn't. Matter is unconscious. It really is not making it happen. Right? Krishna is making it happen. That's the illusion. We think the matter is doing it. My knowledge, my skills is making everything happen. No, Krishna's potency is making it happen. Right? Otherwise, why is it a piece of paper? You can go into a shop and give them a piece of paper and walk out with some very expensive goods.
It's a good piece of paper.
Huh?
It's a good piece of paper.
Yes, but where does the potency of that piece of paper come from? That's the point. It's Krishna. That there is a concept of money and that you can exchange and there's, you know, that equalness and all that. That comes from Krishna. We don't make that up. You know? And now, the days it's not even, in many places, it's not even a piece of paper anymore. It's a piece of plastic. Right? Even in London now, they've started going, like in Australia, I think Australia prints it for them. They've gone to the small notes of plastic. I think it's so people get used to it, and then they'll start going up. Because they brought in at 5, and if nobody liked it, you just leave it a little longer. But now they do 10 also, because the people are okay, and then you just take it up. I'm sure Americans won't do it because it's not America, right? Like that. In that supreme reality, there is no manifestation of the material mind, which functions in terms of alternating decision and doubt, right? So you have a doubt, you clear the doubt, and then with the intelligence, and then you make your decision. But it's based on your false identity. Right? Created material products, the subtle causes and the goals of enjoyment attained by the utilization do not exist there. Furthermore, in that supreme reality, there is no conditioned spirit covered by false ego and the three modes of nature. Right? So we can say false ego and the three modes of nature, because you have the false ego, I'm the controller and enjoyer, that's already there. Then you have on top of that the false ego in the three modes.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
So, double layer of false ego. Yes. That reality excludes everything limited or limiting. One who is wise should therefore stop the waves of material life and enjoy within that supreme truth. Right? That's the actual point. Then you apply it back into your practical point. See, it's not a matter of... See, it's just like... This is the point. It's about Krishna. That's what it is. Then we look at it, okay, what's my position? How can I be engaged? Right? What is my position? What's my advancement?
Yes.
Right? So according to my advancement, then I will choose options within what is the external or the conditioned nature.
Yes.
That's how it works. Because it's a descending process. Because we're so used to ascending process, then when this is said, no, but we have to be practical, we have to be realistic, We want to make it an ascending process. It starts from my reality, my lower reality, and then from there I'll go up and connect Krishna to it. But until I've established my reality, how can I connect it to Krishna? But the reality, the actual reality, the supreme reality, it's all Krishna. So therefore, within this all Krishna, what part do you play? Right? Does Mother Yashoda want to come out and join the Rasa dance? Does she come out with the Cowherd boys? You know, it's all Rasa. You know, it's all transcendental. We're not the body, Prabhu. Like that, you know. Does that make sense? You know, they don't do that.
Because they are the bodies.
Yes. Exactly. So they act according to the body. Yeah. So we're not the body, but we still act through the medium of the body, but on the transcendental position. So you function according to that place. Does that make sense? So then it's a matter of where we fit. Krishna is everything. But rasa means Krishna as a person interacting with you as a person, not with everything. He interacts with everything as Brahman. Right? He's already doing that. So the taste is not... It is nice, right? But it's not as nice as personal interacting with people. So then you as a person, him as a person, how do you relate in this situation? Right? When Krishna comes home in the evening with the cows and the cowherd boys, do the gopis come running out and come up to Krishna and embrace him and everything?
No.
They stay on the rooftops or back in the bushes like that where they can't be seen and see Krishna. Right? But now when they're at midnight down at the Jamuna, at Rasastali and all that, do they stay, you know, up in the tops of the trees or out in the back of the bushes? No, they come forward. Right? And where are the cowherd boys? Are they also out there frolicking around? No, they're asleep. You understand? So Krishna's unlimited, but he is rasa. But we have a specific, we're an ashraya of a specific rasa. So that's how things work. So even if it's on the conditioned platform, it's still within Krishna's unlimited forms of the whole social environment. You know, social, economic, you know, dharma, artha, kama, and moksha. The point is, it's all him. So which part do we fit in? We engage that in serving him as the person in Anandamaya.
Yes.
Does that make sense?
Yes.
That's just how it works. It's not rocket science, but one has to start from here. Then going down into the details that make sense. That's the uniqueness of the Bhagavatam. It starts with the transcendental, then gives you details of application. Mahabharata gives you details of application and explains that there is spiritual and there's a good chance you don't get there. Right? We've got 1.2 billion people to prove that. All very nice, pious, but not necessarily devotees. Or devotees, but not that serious. You know, ordinary devotees. Right? Those who have surrendered the Sampradaya, taken up the Vaishnavism with commitment, that's a different category. But those that haven't, they all know Mahabharata. They all appreciate Mahabharata. Right? In fact, even they want to do a modern movie, it's always something connected with a storyline from Mahabharata. I saw a post for the latest thing. I think the guy's called Arjun, right? You know, like that. And I think a few years ago there was one is Krishna. You know, it's like that. So, you know, they have to do something out of there, give it some modern twist. But. Okay, Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur elaborates. If all jivas are subject to anger and hatred because of the illusion of Maya, who is exempt? So the answer to this will continue in the evening. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivinoda ki, Jai Nitai Gaura Premanandini.